For many will participate in this outpouring. And as I have said many times in the past, this will not be a man, but an army. An army I rise up, will rise up in these last days. And thousands upon thousands will participate in the birthing and the process and in those things in which will bring about a great outpouring of revival. And many will walk in the power of miracles and see the demonstration like the which has not been seen since the book of Acts and even beyond, says the Spirit of grace. But make no mistake about it. There is an inner sanctum in which only those by their own electives will enter in. By their own elective will they enter in, says the Spirit of grace. By the process of intimacy and fellowshipping in my spirit and bringing forth intercession in these last days. Let me take you, hidden ones, by the hand, for only my hidden ones will be invited to see the inner workings of those things and the behind-the-scene workings of those things which are in process, says the Spirit of the Lord. I desire to take you beyond a place of even where the fullness or the masses of the army will operate. For many will operate in gifts and miracles at will, but only the hidden ones, those who've walked in behind the scenes, let me invite you by your own election of choice behind the scenes. Come backstage with me while everyone enjoys what is going on what is deeper than surface level, as in comparison to days gone by, while great things are being done in the masses. Let me take you as hidden ones into places that see the very mechanics of the workings by which I will bring these things forth. And you'll know that there's an advantage in this. You'll know not only the workings of miracles and seeing these things take place, but yours will be an intimacy that behind the scenes produces and brings forth the great workings of miracles. And your joy will be not only seeing these things, but understanding them in a place where even the masses of Joel's army will not be able, except through that place of which I'm calling you into. Come into this place. There is an advantage. I say unto you, by the Spirit of the living God, there is an advantage coming into this place behind the scenes. Ma eklete olaha die efrasto eske itiato mande bitokerese. Oh, hear, O hidden ones. Hear the word of the Lord. Press in like never before. Go behind the veil. Many will reap from your benefits. Your humility will be no desire for praise, but in that hidden place, the praise, the confirmation of your obedience and stealing away with me. Oh, Esati, I heard the word of the Lord say confidence. Confidence is 99% of faith. you'll have confidence that I'm with you. Confidence that in everything that you say and do is followed with a presence. Ma ole idia skebedi monso. Oh, I see a great army rising up. And a great fellowship in the Spirit across the planet. And yet, even beyond that, and as an inner sanctum, let me take you by the hand. Again, says the Spirit of the Lord, I'm reaching out. I'm going to be using those who won't even go into this place to the degree that I'm asking you right now. But those who birth it will be of great advantage. A great advantage. Yours will be a confidence beyond all confidence. And even when the army is swayed a little here and a little there, yours will be a stalwartness that has no reflection on the things of this earth or no reflection by the things of this earth. These are the true hidden ones of mine, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mandekete. Hallelujah. And we want the harvest of the earth. I want everybody from every church that says this is, you know, the church I'm going to is no longer preaching the gospel. But we're not after exchanging members with other churches. We're after a harvest of the planet. And most of the time in big cities, especially the mega churches, if you've got 4 or 5 mega churches, all they're doing really is just swapping members. It's not that same, if you had one church of 5,000, another one of 6 and 7 or 8 or whatever, there's really not a genuine harvest going on. It's just who's got the best program, who's got the best programs, who's got the best youth program, the best this, the best that, the best, you know. I was reading and looking at different types of facilities. Jim had sent me a few weeks ago these dome-shaped facilities and how you can add on to them and you can just, and how good they are against wind storms and all kinds of things. It was pretty neat just looking at stuff. And this one huge church, they had they were huge. I mean, it was huge, thousands. And they had different segments. And one, they had a big facility, probably 3 or 4 or 5 times bigger than this, just for their disco night, just for their dance night. Now, disco's an old term, but just for their dance night for their young adults and, you know, to get in there and party, just party it up. It's a church, mega churches, maybe not all, but this is why revival is going to rage, because people are sick of that stuff. It's a powerless, milquetoast, watered down, panty waste. Why don't you tell us what you really think, Pastor? Well, I will. I'm getting there. That's why nobody's getting raised from the dead. That's why nobody's getting healed. Because programs have usurped the true gospel. Let me get on with it this morning. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the grace of God to teach your word, to follow you. I don't care, Lord. I just put all this aside. I'll go any direction you want me to go. It really doesn't matter. But what matters is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for those that are watching and those that are with us. And I give you all the praise and I give you all the glory. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. You can follow along as best as you can from the King James, or hopefully you've got a King James or New King James. And I'm going to read, but I think this is, and this is Abraham, and this is the, where the covenant was cut. We're not talking about Abraham this morning. We just want to get a piece of what happened to him in Genesis chapter 15. Now, this is the promise that God makes to Abraham. His name was Abram at the time, and he's trying to convince him of what is going to take place in his life as becoming the father of many nations. But really, Galatians tells us and Romans teaches us that these promises to Abraham were not really to Abraham. He was just the vehicle. He was the go-between. He was the mediator. And what this promise was, it was to God's seed, not as plural, but as one, being Christ. And so this promise of multitudes of people was really to Christ. And so we, as the ecclesia, or the church of Jesus Christ, we understand that this promise was really given to us. I'm going to read it now out of the Amplified, beginning in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great." And Abram said, "Lord, what can I do, or what can you give me, since I am going on from this world childless, and he who shall be the owner and the heir of my house is the steward, Eleazar, of Damascus?" And Abram continued, "Look, you have given me no child, and a servant born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man shall not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside his tent into the starlight." He brought him outside, and in the parentheses in the Amplified, "his tent into the starlight, and said, 'Look now towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Now, this was again a promise to Jesus. It was talking really about the spiritual offspring that would take place as the finished work of Jesus, because of the finished work of Jesus. And verse 6 says, "And Abram believed in, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness," right standing with God. So God said to Abram, "I want you to go outside." He was trying to convince him that "I am going to," or maybe he was outside. He said, "Just look up, look up, look at the stars." Abram was, of course, traveling through Mesopotamia. He was going through desert country. It was able for him to look up and see the stars of the night, and God to put an inevitable type buried in image on the inside of him and say, "Look, Abraham, look at these stars. This is what your seed is going to be like." And of course, this is a prophetic promise to the church. And every time that Abram would, even before he changed his name and began to confess the father of nations, every time he would lay in his tent, that instilled image of stars. And about, I don't know, 15 years ago, a number of years ago, I traveled to South Texas. Actually, my father was with me and two other men, and we went hunting down in very, very South Texas, a little town called Terlingua, Texas. It was in the Big Bend National Park, and we were in the desert country, and 12 miles from Terlingua was 12 miles from the Mexican border, the Rio Grande. I drove down there one day, and they told us, "You can go across on a ferry if you like." The federales were sitting across there looking at us. And they said, "You can have lunch over there if you like, but you probably won't get back." I said, "Okay, I'll stay on this side." I'll stay on this side. But Terlingua was a desert country. It was beautiful. I hunted at the base of Aquafria, Coldwater Mountain. and had an enjoyable time during that week. Why are you telling me this? I'm telling you this is because when we would get back to the vehicle, we hunted with walkie-talkies, hadn't been in that region, separated, we'd be miles apart, and we'd talk ourselves back into where the truck was that evening. But with the lights off and no light pollution, standing in that desert country with surrounded by mountains, I saw things in the heavens that I have never seen before in Florida. I could not believe the constellations I was looking at. It was like, my God, this has always existed. It honestly looked like black, like diamonds on black velvet. It looked like that I could just reach out and just touch them like that. It was. I don't know how many of you ever been in the desert at night with no light pollution, but you can see, if it's a clear night, you can see things that you can't see here, you can't see in Florida, and there may be some other states, but I know that the desert is just indicative of the ability to be able to see, and that's what Abraham was looking at. That was his starry night. That was what he looked at, and that was that impressionable image that was given to him. Now, I'm telling you this to tell you, I'm saying all that to say this, God has given to Immokalee and this church and those of you that are coming. Why aren't you already here? I'm just kidding. In a certain sense, I'm ready. We're ready to go forward and see a great outpouring over this region. We have a starry night in front of us, and it is called an outpouring. It is called a spirit-filled image of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is called everything that has been prophesied to us by the Word of God and then prophetically prophesied to us by present-day speakings. It's all these things combined. In 2018, my precious, precious mother passed and went to be with the Lord. September of 2018, I can't believe, just a little over 4 years ago. And what a wonderful saint of God. I'm here today. I really am. Somebody said, well, you're here today because of you got on this walk. I am on this walk because of men like Dave Roberson. But I'm a born-again believer today because of my mother. My mother dedicated me to Christ. She lived an awesome Christian life. She was an incredible teacher. She taught on the ground floor, the biggest church in Fort Myers for a while, one of the biggest churches in Fort Myers. We went to First Assembly, and she was the adult class teacher, and she was an incredible teacher. She taught on the floor of a church that maybe seat 2,500 people, and she had a large class. Her class was much larger than my church and or our church, and she raised me in a good way to follow Christ, and so September of 2018, right at the end of that week, she passed away, and we had a memorial service. And I did the memorial service, but it was right next to the October conference. It was, I thought, you know, maybe we're not going to make the conference. And I did have to postpone, because every year there was it actually graduated as years went on to just an October conference in Tulsa. And so I thought, I might not make it, but I sure am going to try. So we had a memorial service for Mom on the very last day, I believe it was, or one of the second to last day of September, and the October conference was going to start 2 days later. It was on a Saturday we had the memorial service. I preached that memorial service, and then we had an afterglow, and a lot of people came, and it was really, really good. But one of the things that happened as a result of that, Candy and I had to fly out a little bit late. I think that I preached the morning service on that Sunday, and then we flew out in the afternoon to make that October conference. It may have been Monday, but that's beside the point. The point is that I usually went on a Thursday, and I would get out a few days early, and then I would meet with leadership, and we would talk about the conference, and I would meet with Gary and Tim and Alan and a few more people, and Jim and different ones, and we would talk about the logistics and just, you know, what God was doing and where we felt like God was taking the conference, and we would compare notes. But that particular year, and I'm saying this, You know my heart. I'm saying this not to name drop or to say anything that I was in a special position, other than that God ordained my trip out there. Because I went 2 or 3 days late, I added those 2 or 3 days on the end of the trip. Well, I got the opportunity, Candy and I got the opportunity to spend those 2 or 3 days, I think it was 2 days, with Tim and Leah Stemple. And we were able to fellowship, which was great. But the greatest part of it was that we had a couple of days of just strategy. Just the four of us would sit, and Tim would sit down and talk about the strategy of revival for Immokalee. He's always concerned about the person in front of him. And of course, if you know Tim, governmental man, loves God, just filled with great wisdom. You know, was Candy and I went in there that first day, sat in his office, just the four of us, and he was passing out, you know, handouts in which we would talk about and things that strategies for the future and where God was taking us. But I never will forget, and I think, quite honestly, besides for the 2017 conference in which I first met Dave Roberson and that presence came in, that was an incredible, impressionable conference for me. It changed my entire life. But the next most impressionable conference that wasn't even in the conference was the 2 days that I spent, and especially that first day of talking strategy for revival with Tim and Leah Stemple. As I sit there and we begin to talk, one of the most impressionable things was that he began to say this, and he had his back to a tremendously big map. And it was a map of the globe. Have you seen those panoramic, as the globe is flattened out and the map shows the panoramic view of the entire globe? And as we began to talk, and he wasn't talking as from a stale logistical disposition. He was talking out of his heart. He was talking, I could feel his heart, and I could feel more than anything else that what was being placed inside of me was an impartation of the bigness, the absolute bigness of God. Because he began by saying, the map behind me, and of course that was of the world, he said, the map behind me is mine and Leah's starry night. And I knew immediately what he was talking about. I knew immediately that he was talking about what Abraham saw, the vision that Abraham saw. And what Tim was telling me was what we thrive off of, what our hearts desire more than anything else, is to help facilitate a worldwide revival on the planet. To help see that God's will is brought about in a way. And I thought, my God, here is a man that's probably more faithful to the vision of Dave Roberson Ministries and the Tulsa and the Prayer Center than anybody else I've ever met. And yet, his starry night, their starry night, and his starry night was looking up in the Spirit and saying, God, how can we be used to facilitate this global revival? And of course, behind the scenes, things were continually going on that I knew partially about, but other things that I did not know concerning how that they would maneuver and help people from so many different countries around the world to get things done. But what is, again, what people, listen, and those of you are watching, because you're part of this as much as anybody seated here in this room, and what Pastor Jim Martin taught us all week concerning our confessions, our starry night, what we're looking at into the Spirit is, God, there is a not only a citywide. Let me tell you something. I got to tell you this. Every few months or every couple of months, there is a. To start with, I thought, what are they doing across the street or just down the road? There's a tent set up, and they don't do this all the time. There's a tent set up that's probably, it will hold about 500 people, 300 to 500. It's huge. It's really big. And I see it on the side of the road, and it's over there just across the street. It's not just straight across, but it's just across. And then I realized, with all these hundreds of people coming in there, it's a Hispanic outreach. and they're worshiping God. I could hear the worship songs. I know enough. They're worshiping God, and I can hear preaching. To start with, I was like, God, why are these people are having a party, and why are they keeping me up? Well, they're over there worshiping God like crazy. Worshiping God like crazy. I had 4 years ago, God came to me in my prayer closet and said, I want you to restore this house that you live in. I want you to do some things. Set me on a four-year journey, Candy and I. And last year, we went through the 1 year of construction. It took about 4 years logistically just to get approved with the county and do whatever else we needed to do with banks and different stuff. But during that 1 year, last year, one full year where we worked every day with people, I didn't do so much of the hammer and nails, but I had to go back and renew my license and do stuff. But it was amazing to me. The story behind the story is this. I kept praying, and there were so many. I said, I have to have divine connections because nobody wants to come to Immokalee, and nobody wants to, you know, everybody's so busy. I would try to order concrete. Arnold helped me out so many different times. Concrete companies were like, yeah, we can get you concrete. Do you want it in 6 to 8 weeks? We can do, you know, whatever we can help you. And I was like, no, I mean, I thought we could get it tomorrow. We can get you blocks? Oh, yeah, we can get you blocks. You want trusses? Okay, you order them today, and 8 months we'll get you trusses. That's how it is in construction here in Southwest Florida, even now, I'm sure. But amazing enough, I kept praying, God, divine, I need divine connections. We must have had a dozen, I don't know how many, divine connections. And they were coming through, amazing enough, Christian Hispanic men, Mexicans and Guatemalans. And these were professionals. Some of them I could not quite understand, but they did excellent work. Sometimes I'd have to write something out on a phone and go through translate, and they would translate, and they knew exactly what. And these guys did as good a work as I have ever seen anybody do. But amazing enough, these were Christian men that lived, and they worked sometimes in Naples area, but they live here in Immokalee. But amazing enough, these were men that Candy and I would hear. You know, I knew some of them. Some of them went to Pastor Rincon's church, which is a spirit-filled church. Okay, they believe in the. But others were different ones that they would recommend. And I would hear these guys listening to their phones and the preaching on it. And I was like, you know, you're hearing glory, adios, glory. And they're preaching. And then I can hear them speaking. And I'm like, that's not Spanish. And I knew they were going to spirit. I talked to this one guy. I said, he was laying our tile. I said, handsome young man. I said, you go to a church? Yes, see? And I said, is this Pentecostal? You pray in tongues? Yes, see? You know what I mean? Yeah. And there was one after another, and they were spirit-filled and just the work of the Lord going on. A few weeks ago, about 2 months ago, a man stopped by. He moved into a house down the street from me, that a man that I knew and was a very, probably Homer's best friend in high school, Danny Garcia. He moved into the house, and just incredible the work that he did on it to fix it up. Spent a lot of money, made it look so nice. And I didn't know it, but, you know, I had been praying, God, send, you know, if you pray over your neighborhood, things will happen. God will send people. And my neighborhood, from the time I got there, when I first got there, now I'll tell you about my street. There's a pastor now that lives in that house, a Pentecostal, tongue-talking pastor. Next to him, just a few doors down, is the Rincon brothers. Both of them live on the street. And just around the corner, Pastor Rincon, and they're all spirit-filled people. When I first moved here, that house that Danny lived in was occupied by a drug dealer, and there was two prostitutes that worked for him, and I would see those two prostitutes all the time. Candy and I were like, my God, they would walk down the street with very little on, and they would meet men at the corner, and they would pick them up and drive off. We prayed all that out of here. I prayed that off my street. I would go out early in the morning and speak over my street. I would speak over my neighborhood, and God changed things. That's beside the point. The point is this, that man, that there was a man about 2 months ago came up, probably in his early 70s, introduced himself. He was a Spanish guy. He brought his probably 25-year-old daughter, because she could speak really good English. And he said, I'm Pastor so-and-so. And he said, I just moved down here. And I said, wonderful. And I could tell, the Holy Ghost said, they're not only Christians, they're Spirit-filled Christians. So I knew that. I just knew it in my spirit, but I started talking to them. And I said, you guys, you're Christian, right? Yes, yes, yes. And I said, I asked the daughter, I said, no, I bet you're on the worship team. I could tell she was a worshiper. She goes, yes, I am. I'm on the worship team. And she said, and then he started talking, and I said, where? He said, I've been around Immokalee a long time. I was a bad guy. I was wrong. You know, I was on the wrong side of everything, but God touched my life. And he said, now we have this church. And what they were after was they're in a storefront, and the storefront was being remodeled, and they could not find a spot. And they said, you know, are you ever open to allow other churches? I said, you know, I said, sir, I have been, you know, I asked this so many times before. I appreciate, and I would love to help you out. But I said, you know, we have all of everything set up. We have cameras set up, sound equipment set up just for, and God told me a long time ago, he told me about 10 years ago, he says, never ever let anybody ever come in and become a part of your church. As far as, you know, people will say, well, I'll help you with the mortgage. Thank God we have no mortgage. Glory to God. So we're all paid off, so we don't need help in that area. But God said, don't ever let anybody come in, not because people would spoil things, but because he said, I want you to always be ready to have the church for anything you want it to be done. In other words, have revival. You know, I don't want to ever have to tell the church, well, you can't have a, you know, service this week because we're having a revival. So I said, sir, we've got our cameras set up, our sound equipment set up. And I said, it's just really logistically impossible. But he said, well, he was fine. He said, well, you pray for me. I said, yes, sir, I sure will. He said, pray for me that we'll find a place. I said, I sure will. So anyway, it was amazing. They drove off, and it was, I gave him a great big hug, and we just, I could tell in the spirit, it was just really wonderful. And so I realized, you know, they live just down the street. Well, yesterday it was amazing, and I'm talking about Immokalee, but I'm talking about this is our starry night. But God's doing a wonderful thing. He's just doing a wonderful thing. All these hundreds of people across the street that meet, I don't know what church they're from, but so I got a knock on the door. Candy was about to take the grandkids to the public pool to meet Davy, and this handsome young Spanish boy, about 20 years old, 25 years old, his name was Philip. He said, sir, you're pastor, and I said, yes. He said, well, my pastor lives right down there. I said, I've met your pastor. He said, yes. He goes, he sent me down here. He goes, we're going to have a baptismal today, and we were going to the beach to have the baptismal, but the beaches are closed. And he said, you know, he's got a pool down there. Danny had a big pool. He said, we're going to baptize all those people down there. He said, would you mind if we use your parking lot? Because there's going to be a bunch of people. I said, because we can't park all the cars down there. I said, absolutely not. You guys use the parking lot, please. And so yesterday, man, there was a ton of cars in our parking lot. They were shuttling people back and forth and back and forth, and people were walking. And I just, it was amazing. And I was walking, and Candy had left. The kids were gone. And I'm out in the garage, and you know, I'm playing some Chris Tomlin music, but I'm getting ready to lift. I'm going to do some heavy lifting, some bench press, and I'm getting my, you know, all my weights set up. And so I'm watching these guys come by, and I'm watching these waves of these people, and there's people coming by, and they're going down there. I'm talking about a bunch of people, and there's just waves of these people. And one was, you know, these middle school students. You know, middle school to early high school, they were walking by, and they had their towel ready to go be baptized at that pool down there. And I'm like, God, and I might break down, excuse me, because I'm excited about what God is doing in Immokalee. I'm excited. This isn't just surface emotion, it's spiritual emotion, because I just was watching these guys. And And one time I remember, you know, there was a flat bench there, and I didn't care. That wasn't nobody was walking by at the time. I had to get down. I was like worshiping God. I got up, and God said to me, he said, I'm doing a great work in Immokalee. And the next thing he said, and it wasn't a chastising, like you've kind of been self, you know, prideful about this, and I'm correcting you. There wasn't no correction. It was just an announcement of what is. He said, I'm doing a great work in Immokalee, and it's not just through you. It's not just through you. In other words, there are hundreds of our fellow Christians, Hispanic, and all kind of races. Listen, might as well get off on this for just a little bit. I am not for, in any way, illegal immigration. I would love to see, I voted for and will vote for again, them to close the borders and bring forth legal immigration. But what happens, I mean, the liberal Democrats are they're wanting it to happen. They're pouring across by the hundreds of thousands in Texas because the liberal Democrats want to change the demographics of our nation and turn us into a socialist and eventually a communism, and that's part of their plan. Right now, it seems like we're not able to do anything about it, but we are doing something about it. If you are seeking God for an outpouring, because what the devil means for evil, these are the hundreds of thousands that will be part of this born-again, spirit-filled revival. And we've got to stop. Look, listen, your grandpa, I'm sorry, your apple pie, baseball, hot dog, America is not going to resurface. Your grandpa's and your daddy's America is gone. That is gone. We've got to stop thinking about things in a traditional sense and think about America in a revival sense. Our starry night is, okay, God, there's an... you're wanting to destroy... Go ahead, Satan. You're wanting to destroy our nation with all this. We can't stop it right now. If I get a chance to vote again to stop it, I will. I think it should. But as long as we look at things and we say, oh, and God said, oh, no, I've got a plan for this. I've got a plan for this. I'm not one step ahead of Satan. I'm 10 steps ahead of Satan. My answer to all of this is revival. My answer to this is the outpouring. My answer to this is the starry night. Get them saved. Get them saved. And he said, and I broke down in my garage. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to put plates on the barbell, and I'm crying like, oh, God, no. I'm crying all through my garage. I'm like, I can't lift like this. This is crazy. But God said, I'm doing a great work in Immokalee, and it's not only through you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jim Martin was with us and did an incredible, God through him did an incredible job. And he taught us last week about the power of not just confession verbally, but the living a life of confession. Taking confession and looking at it as a starry night and saying, God, this is what we live for. We live for these billions of souls that will be born again in this revival. And everything that we speak, everything that we confess has everything to do. There's not a plan of Satan on the earth that cannot be reversed through this outpouring. Not one plan. And we have to confess it. We have to believe it. We have to live it. We have to drink it. We have to eat it. We have to sleep it. We have to rise up. Just like Pastor Tim said, that which is behind me, that's my starry night. This is the confession of our life. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now, Gary sent Jim and I a video I want you to watch. And it's by Dutch Sheets. It's 12 minutes long, but it's going to have everything to do with, and I thought it was so good. Thank you, Gary. I thought it was so good, in regards to how it related to what Jim taught us here and all the body of Christ concerning confession. So give it a watch, and Harry will bring that up for us. So praise God. Ralph, catch these, please, these lights here, and they'll get the ones in the back. And you may want to catch the stage lights, if you would. You know where they're at, right? Okay. Hallelujah. Give it a watch, and I'll be right back.
Hello, thank you for joining me today for Give Him 15. And the title of today's post is A New Weight of Glory. Certainly, the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret plan to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, who will not fear? the Lord God has spoken. Who can do anything but prophesy? God is moving significantly and preparing to do so in even greater ways. He is stirring up prophets to announce these plans and purposes, alerting us so we can pray and prepare. Today, I want to share portions of two prophetic words sent to me just within the last few days. One is regarding his worldwide movement. The other one is regarding the state of Oklahoma. The first word was released by my friend, Scott Reese, who leads a great work in Moline, Illinois. Scott was awakened at 3 a.m. to serve as a watchman when the following word came with great intensity. There is a supernatural weight of my glory coming upon you now. As prophesied, the season of the supernatural has arrived. What I am doing on the earth today demands warriors who are battle ready. You are stepping out of the past, the struggles of the past, the identity of the past, and the bondages of the past. You are stepping into a season where your time at the altar will be one of supernatural download, prophetic assignment, heart readiness, and divine release. I am pouring out my glory upon the earth in unprecedented ways. It has been prophesied, decreed, sought for, and anticipated. The work I am doing should not and will not catch my ecclesia by surprise. This is that for which you have pressed into my heart. The heavy winds of my spirit are being released across the earth. In times past, when my glory was poured out, as in this season, it was not sustained. This was because on the other end of revival, there must be those who know how to carry my glory. This is not just a personal revival. It is corporate. I'm not only reviving hearts. I'm restoring and repairing worldwide strategies and structures that have the ability to sustain my glory. This is a revival that will have the distinction of being networked across the world by mature intercessors and leadership in my ecclesia. They will carry the weight of my glory and anointing unselfishly. Speak revival now, at this very moment, into your atmosphere. I need to read that again. We need to hear this. Speak revival now, at this very moment, into your atmosphere. Your voice rises above the chaos of culture and joins the crescendo of prophetic declaration that is encircling the planet. The weight of my glory has been released upon the earth. It will be sustained as never before by the carriers of my anointing and my glory. What an encouraging word, and I believe it. I would add as a teaching point that the biblical word for confession means to say the same thing. Our words are powerful when we are saying what God says. Think about it. We're born again when we believe the gospel in our hearts and confess this faith with our mouths. Speaking the word of the Lord is one of the primary ways God's power and authority are released. Scott's word from the Lord instructs us to speak revival into our atmosphere now. I would add, your personal life, your home, your business, your congregation, your state, and your nation, of course. Declare it. Job 22:28 tells us to declare what we hear from the Lord, and it will be established. God is not looking for our permission, but he is looking for our agreement. And he does desire to release the power of his Spirit from us. We must never forget that he works on earth through his people. We bind, we loose. We read in the Word, hear and discern his will, and release it into the earth. My friend Clay Nash, a prophet, released a word over the state of Oklahoma two nights ago. He leads a conference call of hundreds of people each day to pray for America. Currently, they are praying for a different state each day. I'll include information at the end of today's post on how to join them. Here is the word for Oklahoma. Oklahoma, in just over 20 years, I've watched you gain ground and then give up ground. However, know that from your beginning, I have imprinted you with the stamp of my Spirit, says the Lord. It is time to turn up the fire in Oklahoma and move the pot from the back burner to the front burner. For I am visiting afresh and anew places of former outpouring, spiritual wells that once flowed with healing. The old will become new. Many seek to sustain old moves and days of glory now gone by. But I, the Lord, say that Oklahoma will experience becoming a new wineskin, filled with new wine flowing to the nation. This wine will put a glow upon the faces of all who taste and see that I am a good God, that I am seeking to redeem the innocent blood that has been shed on your soil. I am about to reverse my hand in Oklahoma, and the last shall become first. I'm inserting this. This is a reference to Jacob reversing his hands, placing his right hand on Ephraim, and he's left on Manasseh in Genesis 48, 8 through 20. You can read and study that later. I am about to reverse my hand in Oklahoma, and the last shall become first. The outpouring of my healing will come forth, but no significant name shall be attached. It shall not be confined to tents, but will be found under tents. It will be a new movement that will include my body being healed as it becomes fitly joined together. As the body of Christ stands to its feet in this new movement, it will carry healing grace to the lost. It will cause eyes to be placed on me as they experience the movement of my love through my body. The new sound that is being released will result in a new cadence, which will create a thrusting forth, going out as one. Oklahoma, you will bring forth a new model that can swing out of the old and usher in the new. Oklahoma, spit shine your boots, lace them up tightly, and get ready for a long march. Oklahoma, you are my boots on the ground. What a great word for the people in Oklahoma. Begin to pray this word, especially those of you who live there. Also, join Clay and hundreds of others on these daily calls. Agree in prayer with them and hear what God is saying to other states. We are moving into extraordinary times of healing and restoration. Be proactive. Agree with what God is saying and release your faith to see it begin in your area. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your written word, which is infallible, immutable, and eternal. We also thank you for the prophetic word, which informs us regarding what you are doing and saying today. It releases strategy to us and alerts us to your timing. You actually said to believe the prophets and prosper. We believe these words we've heard today, we believe they're from you, Father. Therefore, we will declare them over our lives, ministries, states, and the nations, and indeed the earth. We decree that the release of your glory is coming to the church. We decree that the season of the supernatural has arrived. It will not catch us by surprise. We declare that this will be a corporate revival that will affect the entire earth, and that strategies and structures will be built that can sustain your glory. We decree over Oklahoma that it will become a new wineskin filled with new wine. We decree that this wine of the Spirit will flow to the entire nation. We command wells of healing to reopen there. Healing will come to the lost, and healing will flow to the nation. We pray over our brothers and sisters in Oklahoma that they will hear accurately what you are saying to them now, and that they will be prepared for all you want to do. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. And our decree, we decree that a supernatural weight of God's glory is coming upon us now. And it won't be stopped. It will not be stopped. Well, thank you for joining me. These are some words to ponder, pray over for a season.
Hallelujah.
I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Let's do it again.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We've got just a few minutes, but I want you to turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4. There is much, 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 much more that I could obviously bring out on what I'm about to say, and we probably will in the weeks ahead or at some time in the future. But let me just give you just a brief background, a synopsis of what we are about to read. Everyone, or many people I should say, are very familiar with the Babylonian captivity, how that God judged Israel and Judah in the days when he used King Nebuchadnezzar. He had prophets that he was using, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, different ones. He kept prophesying to the nations. Israel fell 100 years before Judah. Through to the Persians, and then even through that example, because of their sin, idolatry, child sacrifice, which today would be abortion, God judged those two nations. They were one nation at once. They divided into to two kingdoms, a northern and a southern kingdom. But God judged them, and he judged them very strongly, and there were three waves of judgment and brought them over to the Chaldeans, the what we call the Babylonians, and Nebuchadnezzar ruled over them for a number of years. But then, just like every kingdom, there's always wars, and the King Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't always rule. He was the Babylonian king. And then the Medes and the Persians, and I'm just kind of giving you a quick, I might not retain all this. That's okay. I just want to kind of bring you up to Zechariah 4:6. When God got ready to send the Jews back after 70 years of Babylonian captivity, he sent three waves of returning Jews. And he did it first through the very infamous king that we've often talked about, Cyrus II. And he sent back about 40 to 50,000 Jews to restore whatever they could do to restore, first of all, the temple. And there was a governor that he sent back by the name of Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel's mission was to go back and to start on rebuilding the temple, because the temple was totally, totally destroyed. He sends back, or what happens over the next several, you know, when you read about three men concerning the returning Jews, which was Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. These were all three different separate waves of restoration to the Jewish nation. Zerubbabel goes first, and he goes as a governor, and he goes with thousands of people, and he goes under the auspices or the empowerment of King Cyrus and the second, and he says, I'm sending you back. He actually even sent back much of the gold that Nebuchadnezzar took and said, I want you to take this gold back and restore the temple, restore the altar. Well, he goes back, and God gives him, sometimes you look at all these Old Testament books and somebody says, I don't understand all that stuff, but it's good for you to understand the history, because what happens during Zacharias, it was a number of years between Zacharias, the next wave or the next group that went over was with Ezra. Now, Ezra was a priest and he was a scribe, and his job was what God ordained him for, was to go back and restore the word, to restore the Torah, restore a respect for the things of God. But it was many years between Zerubbabel going and then Ezra coming, and then last of all, Nehemiah comes. And the book of Nehemiah and Esther, they were in the Jewish Bible, they're one book. We have separated them in our English Bible to two different books, but they were one book and a chronology of the things that took place during that time. Well, when Zerubbabel goes back, and he's ordained of God, but he's also sanctioned of the king, he goes back to a mess. But his what he's going back for is to build the temple. Now, years and years later, a man named Nehemiah comes, and his job description, he's also a governor, but what he goes back for is to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. But the first purpose that God had was, I want you to go back and rebuild the temple. Well, amazing enough, when he gets back, there's a lot of stuff happening, and God sends two prophets to his life. He goes back with a high priest called Joshua, and of course, Joshua is Yeshua, which is amazing enough, where our English or the Greek from the Hebrew translates Jesus, and that's just a typification. It wasn't literally Jesus with him, but it was a high priest called Joshua that came back to help help Zerubbabel rebuild the temple. Well, when he gets back, he runs into all kinds of stuff, and I'm kind of exhorting this. We were gonna read it, but I know God wants to do something in a minute. But God sends two prophets, Old Testament prophets. One's Haggai. Somebody said, I don't even know what Haggai is about. Well, it was Haggai was an encouragement. He was an encourager to Zerubbabel. And Haggai was to encourage, and Zechariah, he was an Old Testament prophet, and he was there to encourage Zerubbabel as well. And they both, in Haggai, well, I'm just exhorting this, when you go to the first chapter, I think it's the first, there's only two chapters, but when you go to the first chapter, he's telling Zerubbabel, I know, and I'm paraphrasing, there's a bunch of people in the land saying, this is not the time for you to rebuild. Don't build now. You need to wait on this. And he's saying, no, the Lord said it's now. Now's the time to start. Now we come to another prophet that was an encourager of Zerubbabel, and that's Zechariah. So Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says this, and we'll get to a familiar verse. Remember, he was the first one that went back, and so he goes back and he starts, but there's a whole lot of stuff to discourage him. And verse 6 says, and then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. So this is Zechariah. We're reading in Zechariah, and Zechariah is supposed to say to Zerubbabel, he's supposed to give him this word, the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel I have laid the foundation of the house of God, of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, I can't explain all this. I can't go into it. I'm exhorting it. Obviously, I wish I could assist, and I can. I know what it's saying here, but just a snippet here. We often use this. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And we use it for multiple applications, and that's not bad. We use it for the right reasons many different times. But in context, Zechariah is told to go and tell Zerubbabel, it's not by might, it's not by power, don't be discouraged. And he said, the hands that started this, another thing you need to know is this, from the time that Zerubbabel went and he started, and there was a bunch of Jews that were saying, it's not time, it's not time. And then the Samaritans, you know, that's the other thing too. If you study this Old Testament, one of the reasons why the Jews hated the Samaritans was because when they came back from Babylon, they had moved in, and they were squatters, and they had moved in, and they caused so much trouble for the Jews, they actually sent back a delegation to the king back in Babylon and said, these Jews that you sent over here are rebelling against you. Another king, besides for Cyrus, takes the throne, and when he takes the throne, he shuts the work down. And for 17 years, there's no building. Zerubbabel's there. He's got an ordination from God. Go back and build. He starts to build the altar. He starts to build a temple. Now, this is way before the walls ever go up of the city. He starts, and then they shut him down. And for 17 years, there's a hiatus where there's nothing going on. That's why Zacharias comes to him and says, Zerubbabel, the hands that have started this are going to finish it. You're going to finish your assignment. It's not by might. It's not by power. And then another king, which is a famous king in Babylon, Darius. Anybody remember Darius? One that kind of, Daniel and Darius, and, you know, they're all interrelated once you begin to study. Darius sends back and says, start it over. Start it over. I've taken over. Start it over again. Start over this temple. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, say to Zerubbabel, it's not by might, it's not by power. Well, let me tell you something. This region is in revival. I don't care how many hiatuses we've seen, how many distances we've seen between starting and stopping, starting. The confessions that we just heard right here are for this region, and our starry night is for this world. Hallelujah. It's bigger than what we ever dreamed. It's bigger than what we've ever dreamed. It's not just for Immokalee. And I realize, oh, Lord God, Immokalee is getting saved. And you say, well, what do they teach? Oh, listen, come on, get up. Don't be small. They might not have Dave Roberson teaching in their pulpits, but they're getting people born again. They're praying in tongues. That's what the revival. I hope that you don't think that this revival is going to be just exactly like the way we understand it. It's going to be far bigger and far better than all of that. But we got a starry night we're looking into. And the word of the Lord unto us builders is this. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand with me. I want to speak into the camera just a moment, and I want to speak to everybody in here. If you do not know Jesus Christ, please, today is your day. You don't have another minute to lose. Right now is the hour. If you're not totally sure of your condition, or maybe you're coming back like this Rolando that we met, this man that we met today, you're coming back from a journey, go to our website. Go to the front page. We have 10 lessons there that will teach you how to begin to start to walk with God. If you're in this building this morning, if you're watching, we exist for you. Our existence is for you to become born again and part of this outpouring. If anyone needs prayer in here, please, if you're returning to God or you just say, I need prayer, you can come and stand right now. Stand at this altar. And if anybody's out there and that's your altar, come on, sir, just come down here and stand. He's coming back to God. Would you give God the great big praise and worship? You can stand right up, help him out. I'm going to pray. I know you can just face me, brother. Turn, yeah. I'm going to pray with this brother, and I'm going to pray into the camera and everyone that needs this. You're returning, or maybe you've never been there. Just say these words with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm coming home. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me. Forgive me. I'm coming home. I'll serve you the rest of my life. Jesus, I give you all my addictions. I give you all my sin. I commit my life to you. I receive your freedom now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer with us, please go to our website. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Sandra, you and Alexander, would you please come? I'd like to pray over you guys before you go back to Brazil. They're here in Florida vacationing, but I'd like to bless them as they go back to Brazil. Would you like to bless them? Yes. They go back to the Dave Roberson days. Hallelujah. So we're glad to have them here. Praise God. And yes, that's my wife, Sandra, you probably, yes. So would you stretch your faith this way? And those of you watching, we're blessing Brazil right now. So glory to God. Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that you have supernaturally ordained their life. And even from the days when Pastor Dave was plowing in Brazil and doing great things, these are the fruit, the offspring. We ask you to bless their life. Lord, I agree with Alexandria, that Lord, that we should be further along. But Father, now is our time. We will raise the dead, and they will raise the dead. And we just pray that in the name of Jesus, that he and Sandra, that Lord, as they go back, that the power of God will rest over their life. And the sweetness of the Holy Ghost will be with them. Lord, bless them as they continue on this vacation in Florida. But Father, as they go back home, that their life, their ministry, their family, and everybody that they touch will feel your presence in a very powerful. Lord, revival is now. Revival is now over Immokalee, over Florida, over America, over Brazil, over this world, this planet. And we thank you for this great harvest, and we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, my sir. Welcome back into the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Welcome back into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No church tonight. We bless you. We thank you for being with us. Yes, sir. A physical need. Can I say that? Is it all right if I say that out loud? Okay, the doctors told him this week that his heart is dying. So that's kind of on the line of congestive failure or whatever. Right now it ends. Right now it ends. Right now it ends. Right now it ends. In the name of Jesus, I speak and I release the glory of God, the stripes of Jesus Christ heal you, sir. Right now, heart, I'm prophesying to you and I'm telling you, live and not die. Your heart will renew itself by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, be restored. Be restored in Jesus' name. Be resurrected in life. live out your days to be old man without any kind of heart condition. I release the power of God into you now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Blessings. We love you all. Have a wonderful day. And we will see you Wednesday night. Amen. God bless. Amen.